Hey, welcome to another episode of the Journey Online podcast. I'm your host, Zach DeBerry. Sitting in with me today, again, is our esteemed Pastor Emeritus. I'm just making up titles today.
Oh, me? Pastor Emeritus?
Yeah. Pastor Emeritus Matthew
All right. Thank
Dawson.
You. Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good. The Reverend.
Good,
the good. Right Reverend.
The right Reverend.
That's
there
right.
You go. Yeah. And also our, I'm trying to think of a good one for you, our technical guru of all things Apple now. We'll just say it's Apple now.
Because you're back on Apple.
Yeah, that was a whole other, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, yeah.
But Daniel Schaefer's with us, so we're excited.
Woo-hoo!
Excited to be here.
Woo-hoo!
So today we just wanted to do a quick hitter on kind of break up the stuff we've been doing, you know, from one series to the next. And it feels weird that it's like the end of October.
Yeah.
Heading into November.
It does feel weird.
And as we were talking the other day, that means elections.
Election time.
You know, it's not the big ones.
Politics.
Not the big boys yet.
It's not the big boys.
But it's everyone's favorite
Facebook. State and local.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right? State, local government. Yeah.
Yeah, the signs are out everywhere.
Oh, my gosh, the signs are out.
Yeah, so it's a good time. And so we were just thinking about that and just thinking, you know, hey, let's just.
Can I start with a great Brian Regan clip
that
I love?
Yeah, go for it.
When he talks about, like, the two-word attributes, you know, trustworthy, leader, you know? And it's like it only works, right? It only works when everyone's completely honest, like, thievery.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Dawson, thievery, you know? Unfaithful, you know, it's like, oh, I'm not voting for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so every one of them is like the best option.
It's so good, yeah.
The right choice. I love the ones that are the right choice.
And there's apparently only one choice. You know, there's always that one candidate that, like, strays away from the typical color patterns. You know,
you always have those,
you got to stand
blue,
out.
Blue, red, and then there's always this one guy that does, like, highlighter yellow or something, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's like, he knows.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows. So there's always that one candidate.
He had his nephew-in-law that's a branding expert.
Yeah.
Got it done
at a local college, you know, local community college art project.
Awesome. I'm excited about talking about it today. I am. Politics, baby.
Yeah, so we just talked about it from the sense of, you know, we'll just kind of just have kind of a round robin, just a few questions here and there, and just some thoughts about politics in general. So just to jump in, you know, why, in you guys' opinion, why should Christians even care about elections, you know, the local state elections, but even in a broader scale, the big elections.
All right,
that's the ones that get the bigger.
I want to ask this. Let's take a quick poll before we get started, just to have a little premise. All right.
Okay.
How many in our church and just Journey alone do you think actively engage in local elections?
In terms of voting? What's a guess for percentage? Maybe 30%.
30? Really? That's low.
I was
going to say about 60, 65.
Okay.
I was going to say about six out of 10 folks.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking people my age because
we have a lot of people your age in our
group. So.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I'm probably on the lower end. I was probably thinking between 30 and 40% as well. Like, I wasn't in terms of local, I think we probably have a higher percentage in our church that would do that, you know, the presidential election state. You know, government in terms of Congress and
that's
state
probably
senators,
closer to 80 or something.
I would guess that for our church.
So
I mean, our church is probably, again, I don't know if that's different than most places. Most places are probably more active. More people are more active in the thing, which is kind of weird to me.
Yeah,
you know, just to be honest, like it's kind of weird that you'd put that much emphasis on that, and when the local one is just like meh, commissioners, town board, school board.
At least mayor. The first thing that came up is, I guess, I mean, this is in Fort Worth, so it's from last year, but only 11% of registered voters cast ballots in local elections in Fort Worth. At least.
Seriously?
Wow.
Only 11%.
That's what this says.
That'd be interesting data, yeah.
I would love to know what it was, what it would be
like,
for
like
us.
Like here, yeah. Which is funny because, if you think about it, the local ones really do have more of an impact on your
way more
the day-to-day
you
know life and
your taxes,
those kind of things,
where your tax dollars goes, like every one of us pays taxes, our homes, cars, they determine where they go. Your local town board, then it gets a little bit bigger, whether it's a municipal, which is most towns. I got to take, by the way, let me just throw this out there, this really cool class called Huntersville 101, and it was put on by the town. And I think it's put on mainly to get people more engaged in local politics, like the possibility to run for commissioner and things like that. But I went just as a somebody in the community, a leader in the community, saying, I'd like to know more about our town. Yeah. I'd like to know more about the stuff. And I mean, it was 10 classes. It was actually one of the best investments in time I ever made, was to learn more about municipalities and how it runs and budget. Dude, the budget itself is nuts in terms of how, you know, how they do things. And Huntersville actually does a really good job.
Yeah.
That's a little brag on Huntersville, but it's, they did a good job with the budget and things like that. So, yeah, that's cool.
So, well, let's start right there with the local stuff.
Local stuff.
Because it appears, you know, statistically, you know, at least from Fort Worth, Texas, 1 out of 10 people cares about it. You know, and our numbers weren't,
that's so sad,
weren't booming.
Yeah, yeah.
When you just asked us what we thought. So why should we care about, you know, November, was it 2nd? It had come, you know, that's the day. Is that the day? November 2nd, 4th, something like that. I think it's the 2nd this year. I think. Is that right? Is that a Tuesday?
I don't know.
Don't trust me on that.
Doesn't my brain, but you know, before we answer that, doesn't your brain first go to why don't people care?
Yeah.
Doesn't your brain first go there like why don't people, why don't they see it as important? I guess.
I mean, I think the easy answer for me on that is that it seems, I mean, especially today, in today's day and age, it feels like it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it seems like while there are two sides that are just kind of fighting each other, they both are going to do the same thing.
And, yeah.
And also just, I mean, the law of numbers, you know, like I'm one person. Does it really, there are, you know, like a million people around here. Does it really matter?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'll speak to
but
that.
Apparently only 10,000 vote.
Well, right.
You know, cause I do
so your
vote.
Law of one is actually way high. You know, the
I do vote in the local, and I do it for a different reason because, you know, I live on the west side, you know, in
west
Denver.
West side.
In Denver, which is technically not even really an incorporated city. Even though a lot of population is there.
Yeah.
So I vote for a reason of, you know, there's one city in Lincoln County. Lincolnton.
Right.
And for the longest time, it was all the decisions that were made out there that affected us in Denver were all made by the good old boys club from, you know, from Lincolnton.
Yep.
And so we started having these candidates come out from the eastern end of the county, the Denver area that we knew and were reputable and business guys. And so in recent years, I think I would say in Denver, people care a little bit more about the local because we want that voice to represent our needs, because our needs are different than, you know, the western part of the county and even Lincolnton itself.
That's true.
So we just have different needs, and we're growing at a different rate.
Oh, yeah.
We just have different concerns and different needs, and so I felt it important.
Oh, yeah. And the tax base Lincolnton.
When you think about it, I mean,
the percentages from that side of the lake is
they probably draw
high,
a lot.
Yeah.
And for a long time, we didn't have decent fire departments. We didn't decent, you know, water stuff.
Yeah.
Until we started getting some people from our area on these boards, and these kind of things. And so we saw a difference. You
so
know,
that's an excellent argument for why you should.
Yeah,
you should do that.
You know, that's why I engage in it. You know, I try to figure out who our local candidates are.
Mm-hmm.
I look at them, you know, figure it out. So that's why I care about it, you know, from that standpoint.
Right.
I probably care more about that.
Yeah.
We'll get into this in a minute. I probably care more about that than I do the national stuff.
Well,
okay.
Which seems odd, I know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the other thing is that, like you said, like you research the local candidates and everything. I mean, with the national elections, it's everywhere. Like it's on you can't get away from it. Local elections, you have to dig.
You have to like go look.
And, I mean,
which our county does a good job. They send out a little magazine almost of all the stuff. I mean, they do a good job. They really do.
Yeah,
so it's they kind of get it in your hands. Again, probably not a lot of people read it, but, you know, I'm one of those nerds and that does, you know.
I've seen churches actually print for their members, like, basic information on everything.
Yeah.
I know you got to be careful as a church,
because
the whole nonprofit thing, but I think they –
as long as you do everything,
were doing it for, like, here's all the things, and they were doing it because they said, hey, you should be involved.
Yeah.
You should go and vote. You should have a part in this.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so, it's interesting. You know, I'm with you. My brain goes immediately to why don't people do it, and I think it's the same thing you just said, because I have 17 names, right?
Yeah.
17 names to choose from.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about the 17 names.
Yeah,
it feels overwhelming, and I'm with you. Like you'd have to search to find out who they are. You know, there's an assumption that there's a money power play thing. Mm-hmm. In terms of, I mean, it does cost a lot of money to do it. It's a public service. They don't get paid, you know, a ton to serve in that capacity. But there does feel like there's a good old boys club most places in terms of that. And then it's funny because, like you said, I also agree that one of the reasons people don't do it is because they just don't feel like it's important. Which, like you said, it's huge. It is, the certain things about it that's, right. that's really important. I mean, yes, yeah. I don't know if you should be electing your local person on whether or not they believe in gay marriage or they have no, they, you know, when it comes to that side of things, their view on abortion, you know, is not the piece that they're going to have to play in your right. local community. I'm not saying that doesn't matter. I'm not saying you shouldn't have all those things to consider, but I don't know if you should ever make your decisions based on some of those things like people often do in the national election.
Yeah.
When there's something local, when it's like, look, I want representation that represents this. I want representation that represents this. I want people that that care about the way I care about, you know, I-77 tolls. And I mm-hmm. want people that care about the way yeah. I care about city spending money on yeah. land. And I want people to care about what I care about in terms of, like, our town's going through this whole, like, rejuvenation of the downtown area. And, you know, you want – if that's something you're passionate about, right. then you want to have the people in there
right.
that are going to help make that happen. So I'm fully convinced that there's so much value in locally engaging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I mean, just the last thing is, you know, it's like, I don't think that people trust the politicians yeah. to actually do what they say.
Yeah. Because
it's like,
of course
for
not.
Me, you know, like, I think a bunch of people are way more likely to turn out for local things if it's like a one-off vote, like, you know, Amendment 1 or something like that. You
oh,
know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
I know what this will do,
this
and
will,
I know
this right. is changing
yeah, this
something.
This is either going to change yep. something or not.
Gotcha.
Right.
But if you elect someone, then
you're
it's
right.
like, I'm just trusting them, and if I don't
yeah.
you know, have enough time to research them in my busy day, then...
Yeah.
Well, then it doesn't matter.
And not even just trusting them, but just, like, keeping track of the fact that whether or not
right.
they're doing anything you really want
right.
them to
Are you
do.
Going to not only research for 2 months, yeah. but keep up with them for the next
yeah.
2 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I want to segue from that
sure.
because if people don't care about that,
yeah,
or it seems like they don't that much, why are people so passionate about the national deal? I mean, what...
Perception.
What is that
it's
perception?
Gotta be.
Well,
first off... There's usually only two names.
Mm.
I mean, you know, state of North Carolina, blah, you know, Jimmy old guy and Sammy the younger one. You know, it's like, and I mean, that's such a horrible territory. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's usually only two people.
Yeah.
There's usually two or three. And there's like, well, now we got to decide who is going to represent the state. And again, I think when there's a choice of two,
mm-hmm.
people will engage that choice. It's sad, but they will.
Yeah.
The same thing goes with presidential elections and everything
yeah.
else. Like, I just think sometimes people feel like, you know, and sadly, all these people, the people you didn't research and vote for in the early years, like, it's like,
right.
these are the people that show up in your state Senate. And these are the ones that end up running
yeah,
for,
yeah, they
you know,
the, climbing,
yeah,
you know,
it's like, come on.
Congressional.
They're going to be
then,
in
yeah.
Congress one day. Like, shouldn't you engage them now? I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. It's just, you know, you have two choices. It's a lot easier to
lot
research. It's everywhere.
Like, that's true.
I mean,
it is
there
nationally
are ads
advertised.
Everywhere.
Yeah,
it's nationally
yeah.
advertised, and there's a perception of, oh, these people are the ones who actually get stuff done, even
yeah,
if that's not
true. That's a good point.
And so, you know, you're like, well, local government, I never hear about it. I don't
yeah.
know what's going on. But, you know, the president's the one who is saying that he's going to cut our taxes. Mm. So, like, that's
now,
so I'm going
to. I happen to be in favor of banning TV advertisements.
Mm. Well, that's a good point that you made because
yep.
when people see those ads continually, that I think it drums up, you know, that
sure does.
Oh man, I gotta do something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I got.
But there's too much nastiness.
I got this one saying this and this one
like,
saying that. You know, I've got to.
There's too much peacocking going on. Is that a good way to?
Oh,
you
like
know
it.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that a good way to say that? There's too much peacocking going on, and there's too much slam ads that it really gets dumb. Like
oh, yeah.
you know,
oh,
get
yeah.
into it. So I'm actually of the opinion there's only two. You can research them. You know what I'm saying? Like, go to their site to see what they want. Go
yeah.
to the other person's site. At that point, limit them to a degree. I'm just saying to a degree. Limit them to a degree of, or if you really want to know, go to one of their events where they talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where you really get invested. I'm of the opinion you should ban the ads because I think the ads create a negative sense of stuff, especially for the millennials.
Mm.
You know, especially for millennials. They are like... I'm so sick of people slamming. All I want people is to do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not voting
yeah.
for I'm not voting for old fogey guy or slightly younger guy. Like, I'm not going to vote for either one. They can suck it. You know, I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
and I really do believe that they would be more apt to engage it
mm-hmm.
if it was just two. They had to do a little bit of research on it, and they knew. Now, again, you're kind of also throwing out their largest advertisement.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I probably am not going to win any votes for
Well, also,
for that.
You're throwing out a massive amount of entertainment for me.
Yeah. Oh, the ads? You love the ads? Oh, my gosh.
Back to back.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Like, commercials. Like, I love ads.
It's why I love Facebook. It's the reason I still have a Facebook is for political season.
Oh,
I just love
gosh.
Watching people argue about it.
Hey, can we talk about that? Arguing?
Yeah, go for it. Well, my next thing is with an ever-changing political landscape, you know, how should we engage? I guess how are most people engaged?
Okay.
And then maybe how should we engage?
So do you engage in political discussion on Facebook?
I don't have a Facebook, so absolutely not.
Oh, that's right.
Not.
Do you Twitter? Do you tweet it?
No, I really don't.
If
a candidate comes out,
do you engage
like,
or do you just read?
I do not engage. I just read.
Really?
Just read.
Yeah, I do not want to. I don't want to have to reply. I don't want to.
Okay. So you're political entertainment stalker.
It makes me really angry, but I'm actually involved in it. And so
yeah.
It's a lot of fun to read, but I don't want to.
You don't want to be that guy?
No.
I mean, most of my political conversations are like with family or close friends.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you would think would be healthy, but generally
it's
not.
They can still not be healthy. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
In reality, I view political like discussions a lot like theological discussions. Like, hey, it should be fun to talk about. But once you start getting angry and start like really digging in, it should probably be time to stop.
That's wise, man. That's very wise. Yeah. I personally kind of enjoy it. I think put it this way, the people who ask really good questions, I think are great. I love reading Facebook when a good question is asked.
Yeah.
And even if it's in a slightly mocking way of something else. I love good questions. I think people need better questions when they're debating things, and so I love that. It's probably not the post that I don't like; it's the comments.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I can go from a post and go, "Wow, what a great question!" You know, to consider and ponder for myself as I read it. Then I read the comments and go, "Oh, there's so many stupid people."
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what I love reading. It's not the posts I love reading. It's the discussion in
the
comments.
Discussion?
And
okay.
It's also why I won't engage in it.
Oh,
because
gotcha.
You're not face-to-face. Anyone can type whatever
that's
they
true.
Want.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just...
You know, we should have had Don Gentry on this.
Oh, my gosh.
We totally should have.
Because he can...
He would have hijacked it all.
Yeah. He's good, man.
Don't worry. Just find his Facebook page.
Yeah, he can stir
You'll find a couple.
There will always be some comments on Don.
Always be something. But he stirs up a nest every time, man. A nest.
And it's like you said, he poses good questions.
He really
good thoughts.
I always think he poses great questions.
And then there's always
it's the
that,
comments thread.
There's
always
that hijacker.
He always ends up deleting them.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, exactly. Yeah, so he has to because the comments get crazy.
Yeah.
Well, hey, so when you said like how should we?
Yeah.
You know, there is something I believe. I believe as we go through the local time or even the other day. I don't even know if I should say this, but it was public. The other day, our mayor put on, she felt the need to respond to something on Facebook, to something that I didn't even know about, right? But I follow the mayor. So I'm, of course, reading her rant about this person who's running for mayor. And with it, it was sad to me. It was very sad because, she felt like in order to defend herself, she had to slam, the other guy. So, and that's when I look at it and go, okay, that number one tends to be the biggest thing I see when it comes to people of faith arguing politics. You've got to figure out a way to talk about the things you're passionate or convicted about without insulting people. You have to find a way to do it. This is not hard. It's not, number one, very rarely is it theological truth that you're arguing about, okay?
Right.
Where at the end of the day, it's the mic drop and says, look, I don't give a crap what you think. Jesus said it. It's in red. Boom. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's done. It's regardless of what you think of my opinion, this is what it says. Most of the time, it's just opinion.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, you might have a passion or conviction about it, but you got to find a way to – if you can't engage in it without insulting someone's intelligence, without insulting someone's their point of view, then don't engage it. Like, as a follower of Christ, don't – do it. Resist the urge. You are doing nothing. And Proverbs talks about it all the time about just sowing that discord. You're not benefiting anyone by doing that. And I know people live to debate. There's personalities out there that just live to debate things. But man, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to humbly point people to absolute hope. There's got to be a better way, even in political discussions, to be able to state your question or state your thing on Facebook. I'm fine. But then you don't have to engage in the comments.
No.
If you don't want to. That's your choice to rise up and, that's all you. It's all pride.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at it and go, that's just my first thought is just you got to find a way to do it without having the need to slam somebody. What do you guys think?
Yeah, no, I thoroughly agree with that. I mean, it's really, like, people take sides, and I don't know, this might be because I'm young and so I don't know, like, forever, but, you know, I really see that from the, as the media's fault in a lot of ways, of pitting it's this side versus this side and having two people argue about it, and you just kind of go, okay, well, it's my team or your team, let's go.
Yeah.
And really just digging in on that. But, no, you're right. I mean, you got to find a way to disassociate, even some, I don't know about disassociate what you believe from it, but go, okay, we're not a theocracy. We're not a Christian nation.
Right.
Like, I'm not, you can't, like, legislate religion to an extent. And so, you know, it's like, this is my belief, but that doesn't mean that they're going to agree with it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah. You got to find a way to just discuss.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want fruitful conversation, it has to allow for differing opinions. You know,
yeah.
You have to be okay with people maybe not agreeing with you and not thinking, even if they go to your church, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, especially.
You know, there may be someone who sits right beside you in church that doesn't think politically just like you do.
Yep.
And that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that has to be okay. And but for a lot of people, it's not. You know, it's, you know, they're like, well, yeah, this is how I was raised. This is how, you know, how I've always thought.
Yeah,
and to
yeah.
be a Christian, you have to think like this.
Yeah, to be,
and
to so be a legalistic this, yeah. Christian, you got to be a conservative. To
yeah,
be a Jesus-loving hippie Christian, you need to
right.
be a Democrat. And people immediately assume your theological foundation based on your political party, which is so
yeah.
dumb.
Yeah.
Which is so dumb.
Yeah.
And then you go down the fact that, like you said, they refuse to have the ability to say any other opinion's okay.
Right.
Any other opinion, any other approach to this.
Yeah.
Is feasible or
well, and when you don't come at it from a respect standpoint
yeah.
of other people, then you're constantly trying to prove your point.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? You're constantly yeah. trying to prove your point of no, you need to think like I think. Here's why. You know?
Yeah.
Rather than just even exploring, well, tell me why you think that way. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it has to be rooted in a respect.
Oh, I love those conversations where
yeah.
instead of you barking your point, you go, hey, I'd love to know why you feel
yeah.
that way.
Yeah.
But it never goes there. Well,
yeah.
I won't say
very
never,
rarely.
But very rarely does
yeah.
it go there. You
yeah.
know, because, I don't know, something in human nature, when we feel like we're right, you know, we want everyone else to agree with us.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, I mean, we just
yep.
do.
Yeah.
Well, because if more people agree with us, then we're the majority.
Yeah.
And we don't have to, you know, and we make it easier for us to you know, to do this. So let me I will say this. This is a big deal for me. I personally believe that we have to be, when we engage in political conversations, especially from the national level,
mm-hmm.
we have got to remember that this presidential candidate, I'm not talking about the one coming up, but just anyone,
yeah.
this presidential candidate is not the sovereign ruler of the universe.
Okay. That's good.
They are a person of power. They're going to have influence. You should care. And you should, you know, you should have an ability to engage in that care. But like, I love Daniel, the book of Daniel, where Daniel is talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, he says, you know, look, and it's said like several times, because Daniel is somebody has experienced where, you know, the Babylonians overthrew Jerusalem, like crushed them. And he's a remnant, a survivor. And yet he still looks at the king and says, look, you know, the sovereign God in heaven.
Yeah.
You know what? His sovereign God in heaven, I think verse 17 says, the Most High, right? He says, is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and he gives to them anyone he wishes.
Mm.
And then he sets upon them the lowliest of men.
Yeah.
And I look at that and go, you know, there's a perspective that Daniel had that said, look, I understand that what you do as a king does matter. Like he engages the king at a level at which the king does have power, but he never assumes that the king has power he doesn't have.
Right.
You know, the reality is when people paint a doom and gloom,
yeah.
if this happens, the world has ended. I just go back and go, guys, you gotta have a better perspective that this is not a sovereign ruler.
Yeah.
This is someone who is under God's control.
Right.
They're under God's sovereignty. Not in terms of control like, you know, like they may not be surrendered to God,
right.
but they're under God. Like God can do whatever he wants to do. It's
yeah.
not, there is a line between, you know, what can happen and what ultimately God is responsible for.
Mm.
And that's where I look at it and go, man, when you're having those conversations, you got to have a healthy perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want a presidential candidate or a state candidate that disagrees with my convictions about certain things. So I'll make a vote.
Yeah.
About that. I mean, that's the way I'll do it. That's what happens. That's what people should do. But then to just live in fear.
Mm.
I mean, that's the part that political season just upsets me, is to watch so many followers of Christ claiming to follow and trust God living in a fear mentality based around politics. That just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and I think some of it's, yeah, I hesitate to say this, it may be rooted in even a personal small view of the God that you serve.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
Because to think that some candidate could hijack an election and begin to do things and God just be like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. It's not how it's supposed to go down.
Right.
Wait, what just happened? Yeah. You know, that. But that's the way some people like.
Really do.
They wouldn't say it that way. But
they're
living that's how
that
they
way.
Live that.
Yeah.
I mean, they live that out. Of
And making decisions out of that.
Yeah.
Arguing based on that. Yeah.
And it's just not the truth. And it's just, yeah, you know. What do you think, Daniel?
Well, I mean, I agree with that. And I think, you know, it's also just you have your identity's part of your citizenship as well as, you know, who you, what you believe. And so, you know, it's like if you look back at the early church, I mean, the Roman Empire was not better than America.
No way.
I mean, they were way worse. And, you know, but you didn't see, like, the early Christians, like, going and picketing and going, hey, please, you know, change. You know, obviously, Paul did go to Caesar and, you know, try to convert him, but, you know.
Yeah.
Like, our goal, our purpose is not to make America a certain way. It's to show people Christ. And so, you know, it's like, I think the fear just comes from, well, I don't want to go back to persecution. I don't want to endure what Christ said. And, you know, viewing the changes in the government as, like, they're going to start persecuting Christians because churches might not be tax exempt and it's all going to come crashing down. So I think it is what you said, you know, it's like you have a smaller view of who God is and what he's capable of.
Yeah. You know, I hesitate to say that. I talk about this with my dad, you know, and my dad's very right wing Republican, you know, that's just who he is.
Yeah.
That's who he was raised. That's
sure.
who he is. And, you know, so we have good discussions and I say this and I hesitate to say it here, but you know, I said it a couple years ago on the persecution thing. I was like, you know what? I think the church today could stand a good little, like a small dose of persecution.
Right.
I mean, really,
yeah.
Because it would make you truly stand up for what you believe. I mean, look around the world at the churches that are thriving underground.
Yeah.
Because of persecution. I mean, and they're thriving and God's doing some amazing things. I don't know the correlation with that. And I'm certainly not inviting, you know.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
but the reality is more people would go to church if they were told they couldn't go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean
it's just strange, yeah.
It's part of the you have to place your faith in something.
Yeah.
And so you know
yes.
it's like a lot of people, you know, when times are good, it's I'm good. I don't need to. So you know in churches it's the same thing. It's well, times are good. Like, we don't have a lot of issues that we have to bond together over. So it's like, well, so what are they going to do with my money?
Right.
Like, that becomes your biggest issue, not are they going to come down on me for believing in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, you know, I want to clarify and say I'm not hoping 501c3s get stripped or anything
oh
like
my
that.
Gosh.
But, you know, I'm just saying, what would it do to our psyche if there were a little more, you know?
Well, I said it not that long ago. I believe the days of the church being allowed to be a nonprofit are going to come to an end.
Yeah.
I believe that our tax exemption is going to come to a halt at some point.
Yeah.
I know there's plenty of Christians that are going to fight that. And I'll be honest, I don't really care.
No.
I don't feel like, you know, whether it was taxed or not taxed was the call to give or financially invest in the kingdom. So I look at it and go, I don't really know. You know, so I look at Journey. I'm overly bragging about our folks. I don't think our people give because it's a tax donation.
Right.
I think our people give because they feel called to give to the mission and ministry of God. So I look at it and go,
and
you know,
don't
those things don't
change.
And I don't think those things don't cause fear in me. Like you said, I think the problem is when stuff is rooted in fear, man, it's not rooted in God.
Yeah.
That's just a great way to say it. When it's rooted in fear, it's not rooted in God. Mm. And a lot of political conversations are driven by that.
Yeah,
man. I you know, talking about engaging, man. I just one of the things I always tell people is I really do believe one of the greatest things you can do. I think everybody should engage at every level, local, governmental, you know, whatever it may be. Engage take every advantage you have.
Yeah,
to vote and to be engaged. But at the same time, dude, you know we're Christians.
Yeah,
we are called to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are called to pray for our leaders. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm telling you, man, when I see people talk about certain leaders and slamming them on Facebook and so forth, my first thought is, dude, there's no way in heck you pray for that person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's no way in heck you pray for Obama. You want him to burn. You think he's, you know. Yeah. And I'm looking at him going, you're a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, how in the world do you not at least pray, even if he's your enemy?
Right.
You're called to pray for your enemy. So I look at one of the verses I love is 1 Timothy, and it says, it starts off 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, I urge you then, first and all, with requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone. And then it goes, for kings and all those in authority, that you may live peacefully and quiet lives in the godliness and holiness. And this is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. You know, Timothy's just kind of basically expressing, look, this is the reality,
yeah.
You know, and Timothy to say, we want you to pray for your kings and your leaders.
Yeah.
Why would you not? Like, there's so much power in prayer, which, again, I don't know people really believe that. So, yeah. So they might not do it. But there's so much power in prayer that, you know, that you have an access to change policy.
Yeah.
When you're not sitting in Congress.
Yeah.
You have prayer.
Yeah.
And I believe that the people of God are called to pray. And not just pray. Obviously, I don't think that's just a just pray. And what's that horrible fear-mongering verse about, you know, if my people would just humble themselves and pray, I will return to them, to their great stature of... I mean, I know what it was written. I know how it was written in context.
Wilmington somewhere. Past it every day.
Yeah, it was written in context, and I understand that, but people use it out of context all the time.
Yeah.
And I look at it and go, oh, gosh, humble yourself and pray. Yes, put a period there, because that's true. Everything else, I have struggled with how you throw that at people with context, but... Right. Without context, but the people might humble themselves and pray is a call to believers. Mm. You need to do that.
Yeah,
I think it would. Hey, I think it would change every Facebook conversation.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I want to end with one last question. What would you say to the person who just is like, it doesn't matter, I'm not engaged at all? So, what would you say to that person? I mean, outside of just listen, if you don't want to engage in the political landscape. You can at least pray.
Yeah.
You know, that's one way everyone can get involved.
Honestly, my thought on that is, hey, if you're okay just, you know, like obeying man's law and, you know, like living as a Christian, fine. That's like, I mean, I don't see that as an issue as far as, you know, like how you live your life. I mean, like, because I mean, it depends on the reason. If it's just like, I just really don't care, but I'm going to complain no matter what, then that's kind of an issue. But, you know, if it's a, hey, you know, whatever happens, I'm just living my life for Christ, I can't, you know, like, I'm not going to be annoyed at that.
Yeah. I probably take the harder stance that if you have the ability to vote, then not voting is wrong.
Mm.
You know, I'm not going to go out there and call it a sin.
Yeah.
But when you have the ability to cast a care and an engagement and a representation of who you are in this country as a citizen, and you do not do it, that is a huge problem. Like you are taking a lot of freedom and liberty for granted, you know? And I'm not one of those fear mongers who believe like, well, what happens when the day you don't get to vote anymore? You know, look, if the day ever comes where we don't get to vote anymore, we don't get to vote anymore. It's just, it will not change how we're called,
right?
It won't change how we're called to live as Christians. It won't change what we're called to humbly point and love people. But the reality is right now you do.
Yeah.
Right now you have the ability to vote. You have the ability locally, like Zach, and find representation and go for it. You have the ability on a national level to vote and represent a system that I believe is a great system in our country. But and if you don't do it, man, you should really soul search as to why.
Yeah. You know, my dad told me when I turned 18.
Yeah.
My dad told me when I turned 18 and had the ability to vote.
Yeah.
He was like, look, if I'm not going to tell you to vote, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for.
Good.
He was like, this is the thing that he said that always has stuck with me. He was like, you're never given the right to complain about something you didn't take an opportunity to change.
What?
Yeah.
Look at your dad all wise and
good
stuff.
Look at you.
Your dad all wise. I don't get to complain about it. We still do complain about it.
He's like, I'm not going to tell you to vote.
Sure.
I'm not going to tell you who to vote for.
That's actually pretty cool.
He's like, just don't. If you don't, know that you've lost your ability to even complain, you know, really.
Yeah.
You know, because you didn't make any effort to try and change it.
Yeah. One other thing with that.
Daniel agrees to disagree.
One more thing.
just because, like, especially with the two-party system.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I mean, like,
I know.
You
there's
get
so many
to where
brokenness
you go,
with that. Yeah.
I don't like either candidate.
I know.
I can't in good conscience vote for either candidate.
That's true. That's hard.
Yeah.
That's
you
hard.
Get
good confession, I voted for Ron Paul last year, or the last election.
Yeah. Two elections
I knew he
ago.
Didn't have a chance to win, yeah. But of the candidates,
yeah.
He's the one that, you know, I voted my conscience.
Yeah. I've heard even people talk about writing their own name in.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know that sounds silly, but, like, you know, they've talked about the fact that, look, I have the ability to cast a vote. I can't in good conscience cast for either one. And they've written their name in just because they felt like, look, at the end of the day, what I'm saying when I do not vote for them is that I vote for me. You know? And I was like, you know, I don't know if that helped any. You know, I don't know if that made a difference. But at the same time, they felt convicted to do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, going against your conscience is never a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta listen. Not I'm not talking about your gut that's filled with fear. I'm talking about your conviction and conscience from God. Yeah. You know, don't go against it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I love this discussion.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Hey,
I wonder if anybody listened the whole thing.
Yeah.
They should write us. If they made it through the whole political podcast.
Yeah.
Send a note. To what do you want to send them to? Stories
at thejourneyonline.com.
Let's send them there.
Yeah,
I want to hear.
We want to hear about your thoughts. Yeah,
yeah.
Your thoughts. Your
be
you
awesome
know, interactions. If you have other questions, you know, we
Jason Thompson.
You know, let us know.
Yeah.
Jason Kavalik.
Yeah, let us know.
Just naming off all the people. I know they listen to it. I know they listen. That's so great.
Yeah, and yeah. So those who do listen,
Don
thank
Gentry.
You.
we're just
naming now. Just name
yeah.
dropping.
I know they're going to send us a letter.
But,
I know it.
But seriously, thanks for listening.
Yes.
And send us a note. Seriously, send us notes, questions, whatever you have. And we will catch you next time at the Journey Online podcast.